Hi, everyone. The 18th annual World's Most Ethical Companies recognition is here, honoring 136 organizations spanning 20 countries and 44 industries. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Around this time every year, Ethisphere recognizes those companies that have demonstrated a commitment to ethical business practices through robust programs that positively impact employees, communities, and broader stakeholders, as well as contributing to sustainable long-term business growth. That recognition is the world's most ethical companies, and it has become one of the most coveted designations in the business integrity space. Honorees undergo a rigorous qualitative and quantitative assessment across five categories: ethics and compliance, culture of ethics, governance, third-party management, and environmental and social impact. That assessment informs the ethics quotient, a proprietary rating system that is at the heart of the world's most ethical companies selections process. The ethics quotient features more than 243 multiple choice and text questions. Ask any world's most ethical companies honoree, and they'll tell you, applying for this recognition takes a lot of time and work. But they'll also tell you how valuable the process is. By undergoing such an objective, consistent, and standardized assessment, applicants gain valuable insights on where to improve their ethics and compliance program, as well as how to engage with their various partners and stakeholders. This is one of those undertakings that is as much about the journey as it is the destination. With us today to share her insights on this year's honorees is Ethisphere's Chief Strategy Officer and Executive Chair, Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Bill, it is absolutely my pleasure, particularly to talk about a process that is as important to Ethisphere and to our broader community as the world's most ethical companies process.
The honoree list of the world's most ethical companies never fully repeats itself. Every year, some honorees are first timers, some are returning companies, and some have been on this list since the very beginning. If you were to look at this year's honorees as a collective entity, what are some of the words that you would use to describe them?
Yeah, Bill, it's a really good point. So you're absolutely right. If you look at the list in any given year, there's a group of companies that have been repeat honorees consecutively. There are companies who come back onto the list and get recognized in a year when they hadn't been on the list the year before. And then there's brand new honorees that we've never recognized before. And a lot of that goes to the process that you described during the opening commentary, where you laid out a little bit of what goes into applying every year. And the flip side that you didn't get into, but you and I have talked about in the past, is all of the changes that we make to the ethics quotient on a regular basis, right? So about 30-ish% of the survey changes in any given year. And that was certainly the case for 2024. So for the companies that are new to the list this year, I would describe them as diverse, right? They're across industries. They're all kinds of sizes. They're all kinds of employee headcount. They're all kinds of revenue bands. They're all kinds of industries. They're all kinds of locations, right? We have 44 industries on the list this year, headquartered across 20 countries. The thing that pulls them all together is their commitment to the kind of practices that we evaluate in any given year, and particularly the things that we weighted this year. So this was the first year, of course, that we included as its own category third-party management. And we did that in large part because what we were seeing in the regulatory landscape, as well as from our clients, looking at the profound impact your business partners can have on your own commitment to doing business the right way and the ways in which they are an extension of you and your organization. So if they're an extension of you and your organization, how do you make them an extension of your way of doing business and select the right kinds of third parties? And so this year, for the first time, the process actually fully weighted that evaluation piece, which had always been in the survey, as its own category. And I think that's something you're going to hear us talking a lot about because we saw some really great practices there.
This is such a big deal for the companies that are honored each year. And every year we see them celebrate this achievement, often with extremely heartfelt messages to their stakeholders. I was wondering, can you talk about some of the reactions that you have seen from this year's honorees that have really made an impression upon you? And can we also maybe talk about why you think this kind of external validation means so much to ethics and compliance practitioners?
Yeah. I mean, anybody who follows me on LinkedIn has seen, you know, some of the comments that I have put on company posts or on individuals' posts talking about the way in which they have shared their news, talked about what it means to their companies. I mean, we have seen, Bill, things like trophy tours, right? You know, because the companies that are recognized in any given year have the option of celebrating with a World's Most Ethical Companies trophy. And that many of them take it, not exactly Stanley Cup style, because the parties tend to be a little bit lower key than that, but they take it, you know, around the globe and get it through customs and, you know, deal with like safely transporting this glass trophy to all of these different locations. And so I love to see those things, right? I love to see the companies that are making their key stakeholders aware of it, sharing it with their investor teams, you know, using it in internal and external communications. And then the compliance professionals in particular who write about what it means to have their work recognized, right? Not to get too meta on us, Bill, but if I think back to the founding of Ethisphere as an organization, the magazine, and the World's Most Ethical Companies process, it was created to spotlight companies that were quietly doing the right thing, right? That's the whole purpose, is to spotlight companies that were quietly doing the right thing. And we did it in large part to respond to the fact that companies doing the wrong thing tend to be in the news. And especially when it comes to good, strong integrity programs, it's very hard to prove a negative, right? It's very hard to point to, oh, that's the fine we avoided. That's the, you know, that's the thing that didn't happen because of all this work I'm doing. So I think part of the reason why it means so much to compliance professionals is the role can be lonely, right? The role can be, can feel at times pointless, you know, like a little Sisyphean, if you will, right? You're just getting up every day and rolling that rock back up that hill, right? And the World's Most Ethical Companies recognition is an opportunity for somebody to tap you on the shoulder and say, I see you over there doing that good work, and we're going to recognize you for it.
You know, on a personal note, one of the things I love to do in my profession is to sort of, you know, collect professional odds and ends, you know, professional swag, professional trophies, just to kind of mark my own journey. And when I see the World's Most Ethical Companies trophy, it's a really impressive piece. And there's always this temptation, like, hey, when we order the number that we need to order, can I pay for one personally to have an extra one, just so I can have it, on my shelf. And the reason why I don't ask for it, though, is because I haven't earned it, you know. And when I see how much it means to people, I've seen companies that have their own events, and at that event, they have this like, hey, we're going to have our trophy there. You can come and have your picture taken with it as part of that recognition process. Yeah. You know, I don't have the right to simply have an extra one just because it looks cool. I haven't earned it. And I think that's one of the coolest things about this is the reverence that people have for this designation. It's not something that they feel is given. They feel it's earned. And there is a real true appreciation for that. And it's really neat to see that and be close to it, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's, it is one of the hardest pieces of work that we do because of the amount of work that goes into revising the ethics quotient, doing the review process, selecting the companies, right? It's an enormous effort on the applicant side. It's an enormous lift for the team here at Ethisphere as well. But it is also some of my favorite work because, as I said, we get to tap people on the shoulder and say, I've noticed you quietly laboring in the corner. And we're gonna shine some light on the good work you're doing.
Right now, there is a company that is seeing this list and they're thinking, I want us to be on it next year. Mm-hmm. So where does a company like that start? And what should they expect from this process? Because nobody just skates onto this list. It takes an enormous amount of sustained effort to create a world-class ethics and compliance program.
Yep, it absolutely does. So obviously, first and always, and even for companies that have been on the list every year, right? I know they do this too, because I've spoken to them about their process. First and always is really understanding the weighting and the methodology. So look closely at the things that we care about. And we signal every year exactly what it is we care about with the methodology that we publicly disclose on our website, as well as the copy of the annotated ethics quotient, which is available to anyone listening that is curious to look at the 240 questions that we ask as part of the process, right? Get your hands on that document, and particularly on the red line, because the red line is going to be the thing that will show you what we changed from last year. Because just like your program is ever evolving, just like the regulator's expectations are ever evolving, our ethics quotient is ever evolving as well. And so it changes every year. And one of the things we do for the community is we make that annotated version available so that you can see what we care about. And you get to see all the ways we've changed the answer options to add new and innovative practices. Start there, right? Start there. Ask yourself, how would I answer this question? Can I answer this question? Who has the information necessary for me to answer this question? Because the other thing that the WME process is it's very deliberately cross-functional. And it's deliberately cross-functional because we want you talking to your control function peers, right? If you can use the world's most ethical company's application process to build a better relationship with your friends in procurement, do it, right? To build a better relationship with your friends in sustainability, go find that person, take them to coffee, show them the survey and say, what do you think, right? Yeah. Could we do this? What does it look like? What do we have the documentation we're looking for? We are, same thing with the corporate secretary, investor relations, right? Like HR, these groups you should be talking to anyway on the regular as an ethics and compliance team. We give you a vehicle to do it in the survey. And we do that very deliberately. So sit down with the survey, figure out who your peers are that you would have to go through the process to be able to connect with to answer the survey in the first place. And then we do a whole bunch of, you know, get ready for the application type events in the summer. So sign up for all of those and set your expectations appropriately, right? As you said, Bill, people don't skate onto this list, right? We have a lot of people who apply 2, 3, 4 times in a row before they are, you know, their program's in a place where it's gonna hit the mark. So get into it for the process, not because you think you're gonna win your first go round.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. I know how much the World's Most Ethical Companies program means to you, to Ethisphere, and most of all, to this year's 136 honorees. So I truly appreciate the thoughts and insights that you shared with us.
No, it's absolutely my pleasure, Bill. We've been doing this for 18 years. So you don't do something for 18 years if you don't have a really good reason for doing it. And fortunately for us, we do.
To learn more about the World's Most Ethical Companies program, as well as to view the full list of this year's 136 honoree companies, please visit worldsmostethicalcompanies.com. To follow the conversation on social media, be sure to follow the World's Most Ethical Companies hashtag. And as you see your peers celebrating their achievements online, we encourage you to join in their conversation by liking, sharing, and commenting on their posts. This is a big achievement for each of those organizations. But more than that, it's an achievement for everyone who is doing their part to make the world a better place by advancing business integrity. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe either on YouTube or on our podcasting platforms at Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Music. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business. Ethics doesn't just happen. You need to put in the time. So make sure to register for the 15th Annual Global Ethics Summit, a live and virtual event in Atlanta, Georgia, from April 22nd through the 24th. Save $200 by using the code ETHICAST at registration. To learn more, visit attendges.com.